Anthony Vidori from Vaughn Soccer Club, and you are listening to the Football Weekly Podcast.
I should be doing this on YouTube, but I think we have to re-up our subscription. So I got to get in touch with Joe to find out when we paid and when it's expired to see what's going on, because I can't log on. It's getting into a long weekend here, and I don't have the patience to troubleshoot, so I'm just doing it the old school way. It's going to be me and you. Joe is busy with the Vaughn Showcase, so he's busy with that, and working, and kids, and wife, and all that stuff, so he won't be able to make it this week, but we'll catch up with him next week. So we're just going to run through a couple of things this week. Just finished watching the Champions League quarters. Very interesting. Very interesting. If you want to say Jekyll and Hyde in the Man City Atletico tie, that's appropriate title for that. We'll talk about the leagues as usual. We'll focus this week on, I guess, EPL. We'll leave Serie A for Joe. I know he's in the same boat. His team's in the same boat as mine. It's like a mirror image of what's happening with our teams right now. One's sitting in first place and one isn't. I'll let you guys figure out who's in first. We'll also talk a little bit about early transfer rumors. And we'll finish off with the TFC. So we'll start in England. We'll start alphabetically. We'll start with Arsenal. A bad couple of weeks, I'd say, ever since the international break. And this is part of the reason why I hate the international break. You guys that have been listening for years while we've been doing this, is you know that I hate the international break. And partly because the teams that I support internationally weren't involved in anything in the international breaks. Now it's different. Now that Canada's qualified for the World Cup, and this last international break was fantastic. So I was very interested for this international break. And the same with Ghana having to win a two-legged tie against Nigeria of all teams. So this international break was very important. I watched four games for my teams. Well, actually five if you include the three Canada played. So I watched five international games over this international break. But the reason why I don't like international break, it's just it cuts the momentum off of your team. Arsenal was flying before international break, and now we've come back from international breaks, and we've lost two games on the trot, and we lost Kieran Tierney, and we lost Thomas Partey, and we don't have replacements for those guys. We're not a billionaire club, you know, has three world-class players at each position that can fill in spots where we have an injury. We're not at that stage yet of our rebuild. Not that we're going to go and spend, but, you know, we don't have that. So this upcoming game this weekend, Saturday, against Southampton, Mikel Arteta has called up five players from our youth academy to come either fill in or provide cover on the bench. I don't know how many teams in the EPL can boast that. Where we're sitting in the standings right now, we're 3 points behind Tottenham for the last Champions League spot. We still have to play Tottenham. We have a game in hand, which is coming up on Wednesday, I believe, where we face off against Chelsea. And most people aren't giving us a chance against Chelsea, and I don't know why. Because Arsenal's the type of team that'll lose to Brighton, they'll lose to Crystal Palace, they'll beat Chelsea and tie Liverpool. So I have a pretty good feeling about that Chelsea game. A couple of weeks ago, we were 2 points away from Chelsea in third. But now they've won two, I believe, on the trot as well. And Tottenham's won a couple of games. And if, for everybody out there, if you think Tottenham's going to keep up with the speed that they're going, you haven't been watching the league for the last 10 years. They'll stutter, they'll stumble. You know, Conte was... A month ago, Conte was leaving Tottenham. Now they're winning games and it's 70s Brazil. It's a 2000 Barcelona team all of a sudden, Tottenham, please. You got to be joking me. There'll be slips by Tottenham in the last, I think there's eight games left in the season. They'll slip up. They'll get Spursy and slip up. But if the league were to be finished today, they'd be above us by the 3 points. It's going to be interesting to see. We still have to play United. We still have to play West Ham. We still have to play Tottenham. Still have to play Chelsea as well. So it's not an easy run-in for us, but we play the way that we've been playing. We should be fine. But with the injuries, I don't know what to expect, but I expect a big performance against Chelsea because we always seem to come out and play against those guys. So I'm expecting a result. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that is at the Etihad. The Emirates, if I'm not mistaken. But I could be. So we'll check. Either way, they got to play. It doesn't matter where you play it. You got to get the result. Everton seems to have, well, they beat United, so I guess Frank's safe. And that's another thing I wanted to ask Joe, but every time we talk about half the things we write down that we're going to talk about, we don't get to, and we talk an hour about something else. So Frank Lampard, when did Frank Lampard become this coach, a team into relegation? I can't believe it. Frank Lampard, I don't get it. I can't believe it. Why? Where has he coached where he's been successful? He coached at Derby. Okay. He coached at Chelsea and got sacked. And spent $250 million and got sacked. Okay. And now he goes to Everton and everyone's shocked that he's not doing well. Like, I don't understand. Joe will be the first one to back this up when I say it. The best players, good players, and I shouldn't say the best when talking about Frank Lampard, but good players don't make good coaches. Look in history. Diego Maradona is the best soccer player I've ever seen play in my lifetime. I'm not saying he's the best ever because I'm not stupid. I haven't seen everybody play. And I wasn't born in the 2000s, so I'm not going to say best ever starting in the year 2000. But he's the best player I've seen in my lifetime. And he wasn't that good of a coach. Wayne Gretzky, best hockey player I've seen in my lifetime. Not a great coach. Thierry Henry, not a great coach. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of great players that have tried to coach. Gary Neville, terrible player, terrible coach. Talks a good game, talks like it's easy, and then goes to Valencia and does that. I need Joe here to rein me in because when I start insulting guys, people get mad. But you guys can take it for 1 week, it's fine. So I just don't understand where this Frank Lampard and Steven Gerrard, like Steven Gerrard was coaching a one-team league in Scotland and finished 90,000 points ahead of second place. And now he's the greatest coach ever. And he comes to Aston Villa with high hopes. And where are Villa? 12th? 13th? I just think people need to relax. And I know where all this narrative is coming from. It's from the English media, English guy, English coach. He's got to be great. This, that, give him a chance. If that coach was from Spain, if it was Unai Emery, they'd say get rid of him. He's doing a bad job. So, I mean, I get it. English commentators and English pundits, they want to back their guy. I get it. But, I mean, you got to look at the facts and you got to look at it for what it's worth. Doesn't seem like a very good coach to me. Just based off his track record. It's not like he coached a team that won the Champions League 1 year and then went to another team and now they're struggling. Where you know he can do it. Yeah, he's never done it. To me, he's never done it. If I'm wrong, tweet. Let me know. But they've escaped. Not escaped. Well, not yet. Not yet. They're 4 points above the drop zone. So, I mean, they're going in the right direction. This whole thing with Leeds, and we talked about this with Joe and Leeds changing their coach to Jesse Marsh and questioning whether he was the right guy. I said he wasn't, but hey, can't be right all the time. He seems to be getting a tune out of this team. So they're also climbing their way out of the relegation area. They're unbeaten in their last four, with three of those being wins. So we might see these guys back in the Premier League next year. The bottom three look like Burnley, Watford, and Norwich, with only 7 points separating dead last from a spot in the EPL next year. And the middle's the middle. The middle are the teams that you thought are going to be middle. The Southamptons, the Brightons, the Wolves, you know, the Villas. Those are the teams that are going to be in the middle, and that's pretty much where they should be. Everybody was crowing about Newcastle. They got all this money. They're getting this coach and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And they're chugging along too. But Leeds might catch them. So we'll see. We'll see about the money they spend next year. And you know, it's one thing to have the money. It's one thing for a player that's been playing abroad, maybe playing in Spain or maybe playing in Italy, you know, or maybe playing in London, and telling them to go play in Newcastle. Not that the team's bad, but living in Newcastle is different from living in Milan or Barcelona or Madrid. So I don't know what players you're going to get that are going to be excited to go move to Newcastle. Because again, it's not just the playing. It's not just the team. It's not just the player. It's the family. Do I want my kids to go to school in Newcastle or leave them in Madrid? What's the food like in Newcastle? I know what the food like is in Milan. What's the food like in Newcastle? What's the weather like? How easy is it for me to get my parents to come visit me? So there's all those factors that go into it. I mean, London is a diverse metropolitan city. It's easy to get to. I don't know how easy Newcastle is to get to. But, hey, the money's there. Maybe they can overpay like some teams to get players to come there. Who knows? But Joe can do the... Joe will do the Serie A stuff next week. This is going to be a short show. I mean, I'm 1 day away from a 4-day long weekend. So like I said in the beginning of the show, just finished watching Champions League. And what a great set of games for different reasons. What a great set of games. Incredible. Incredible games. Like, the results are just like, wow. There was times where you're watching the games and it's just like, I can't take my eyes off this. I'm supposed to be working, but I can't take my eyes off this game. And then there's some games where it's just like, if I bet on this game, I would have lost everything. I would have lost my house. I would have lost my car. I would have lost everything in the bank account. I still don't know how Bayern Munich doesn't win that tie with the players that they have. And I got messages left, right, and center. Unai Emery was at Arsenal and couldn't get a tune out of them, but he goes to Villarreal and beats Bayern Munich once at home and ties them on the road and is going to the semifinals of the Champions League. And I explained to them, listen, it's not the fact that Unai Emery couldn't get Arsenal to play properly. And I'm not making an excuse. This is a fact. And again, you could put this in your own personal life and look at it that way as well. Unai Emery's first language is not English. So when things are going 100 miles an hour on the field and he needs to change something, can he pick the right word that the player is going to understand what he means? Or is he going to have to tell somebody to translate it and then tell them? And by that time, whatever he wanted to tell them might be obsolete at that point because they've either scored or they've won the ball or the play's done. Now it's on to the next play. If Unai Emery was fluent in English, he'd probably still be at Arsenal. But it's hard when you don't understand the language or you're just learning the language and you're looking for that word and you look at your neighbor or you look at your assistant coach and it's, what's the word for whatever? And he tells you and then you tell them and you still can't pronounce it properly. If you watch any of his press conferences, he looks over to the translator every other question. So how he's giving instructions to the players, I have no idea. While the game's going on, I have no idea. So you move him back to Spain, where he is a native of, and he speaks the language perfectly, and this is what you get. You get a Villarreal. Villarreal has always been a team that has great players. They just never were able to put it all together at the same time. And I think Unai Emery has that right now and is able to move them along. Look at the work he did at Sevilla. It's another Spanish team. Europa League's all over the place. And now he's taken a team to the semifinals of Champions League, which he's going to run into Liverpool, by the way. So I don't know. Maybe he comes up with a masterclass against them as well. But for the people getting at me that he was at Arsenal and he didn't, and Arsenal couldn't play that way, or they didn't have players like Villarreal and blah, 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 blah. No, that's not it. That's not it at all. If I were to plop some of you English speaking guys that only speak one language into Spain, let's say, or Italy or France or wherever, and now coach these guys who only speak Spanish or French, go coach them. Go coach them in the middle of a second half of a Champions League game with 15 minutes to go, and you have to relay instructions to them. Go tell them, what are you gonna tell them that they're gonna understand while they're running around playing? What are you gonna yell to them? It's tough. It's tough when you don't understand the language. And I know you're doing the language courses and all that stuff, but it's not like you finish the language courses and you're fluent in English and you go and then you start coaching. You're doing this on the fly. So for those asking, those are some of the reasons why he didn't succeed here. And, you know, there's other factors as well. Mesut Ozil, you know, not believing in the tactics and causing problems in the dressing room, I believe, which is the rumor, which I believe now, because everywhere he goes, he seems to be the odd man out. Owner of Fenerbahce, where he's playing now, came out and said, yeah, he's not coming back to our team. And that's only been about 3 months, 4 months he's been there. So he's already burned bridges there as well. Where is he going to go to next? Can you imagine it? The rumor is Inter Miami. But I just think he seems to have problems with players that aren't at the same skill level as him. And if he goes over there, no disrespect to MLS or, you know, any of the players on Inter Miami, but if he goes to Inter Miami, he's going to be the best player on the field. And I think he's just going to be frustrated looking around saying, how come you can't play this pass with the outside of your foot down the line and keep it in? Like, I don't get it. So I think that's the problem he has with most teams. But again, we're getting off topic here, trying to keep it Champions League. We'll talk about this down the road, probably in the year end show of things that surprised us and things that didn't surprise us. And this is probably going to be one of the things that didn't surprise me, that nobody can get along with Mesut Ozil. But getting back to Champions League, Liverpool did the business. They played today against Benfica in Portugal. The game ended 3-3. So Benfica did put a foot forward in this game. I didn't see the lineups. I don't know if Klopp rested anybody, or Salah didn't play, or Mane didn't play. I don't know. I didn't see any of the game at all. I was busy watching Atletico Man City. But even so, I mean, you would think after the first leg, coming back home and playing a team like that, that it's a foregone conclusion. But they put their best foot forward. An Arsenal target, Darwin Nunez, scored. So, you know, he's scoring against Van Dijk and I think it was Van Dijk and Kayuti that were at the back. If they're at the back and he's scoring goals against them, that bodes well for, you know, life in the EPL, because you're facing probably one of the best defensive duos in the league, and you're able to score against them in a high stakes game like a Champions League quarterfinal. So looks good for him. I don't know if, you know, he's going to be a guy that Arsenal targets in the summer because they're looking for a striker. But from all accounts, from people that are in the know with Portuguese players, this guy is going to be the next insert greatest striker in the world here. So, yet to be seen, but we'll keep an eye on that with the transfer rumors as well at the end of the season and even into next season, which we have to look at, actually, because the World Cup is in November, so the leagues probably won't start till January. So I wonder how that's going to affect the transfer window. But again, different conversation for a different show. So Liverpool is through. They play Villarreal in one semifinal, and then it could have been a Madrid. It could have been a Madrid derby, but it's not going to be. So it's possible you might have an English team in, well, two English teams in the Champions League final, which is what everybody at BT Sports and Sky Sports is praying for. Now, just before we get into the Atletico, or actually the Real Madrid-Chelsea tie and the Atletico-Man City tie, a question for you guys. If you're an Inter Milan fan, and I think I asked this to Joe last week, I can't remember. If you're an Inter Milan fan, and AC Milan is the only Italian team left in the tournament, are you cheering for them? Because Rio Ferdinand was cheering really, really, really hard for Man City today. And I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Apparently Man City put in a masterclass today. I must have been watching a different game. I know what Diego Simeone was trying to do in the first leg. I might have mentioned it last week. He's trying to take a 0-0 back to the cauldron, I like to call it, of the Wando Metropolitano. I call it the cauldron because that place is crazy. I would never be intimidated to play at Anfield. I would never be intimidated to play at any one of these stadiums that are supposed to be so scary. Oh my God. Oh, yeah. Old Trafford. Oh my God. The ghost of Sir Alex. Oh my God. Oh my God. But the Wanda? I don't know. That's different. That's different. The way Simeone is a conductor of that crowd, the way he can get the fans all riled up and that gets the players going, I'd be not afraid, scared to play, but I'd have it in the back of my mind that, you know what, if you know he gets these guys going, he might have an issue. But I just don't understand how you can be a Manchester United legend. I'm doing quotes here, quote unquote legend, Rio Ferdinand. I don't know. Okay player to me, but whatever. I guess he's a legend to United people. I don't know how you can cheer for Man City. And the commentary, the in-game commentary has to be the worst in-game commentary out there. I actually looked for another stream, not another stream, another channel to watch the game on. I don't care if he wasn't even in English. I'll watch it in Spanish or French or Ukrainian. I'll watch it in any language just so I don't have to hear those guys. Absolutely terrible. If you couldn't tell that they were homers off the bat, like I don't mind. I like, that's why I like World Cup. I like not Jim Beglin. I like Peter Drury. Peter Drury doesn't have any alliances to anybody. He calls the game. But you can clearly tell that, you know, as long as the team's English, there might not even be an English player on the field. But as long as they're English, that's the team they want to win, and everything against them is a travesty, and everything that they do, oh, that's not a foul, that's never a foul. They were commenting on Seven Savage in the end. Which, by the way, that tackle on Foden at the end, never a second yellow. I don't understand that one. I have no idea why he gave him a second yellow for that tackle. He got the ball and turned over and got a run and got up to get on with it. And Foden rolls around. He's off the field, and he purposely rolled back onto the field to waste some time because Man City were under it. Let's be honest. Man City should have lost this game today. Let's be honest. If you can't say that, then well, I don't know. You should join the English commentary teams. They had all the chances. I think the stat at the end of the game was Manchester City had one shot on net. And they asked the question, like, when have you ever said that Manchester City had one shot on net in a 90-minute game? Maybe I shouldn't say they should have lost, but I think Atletico Madrid should have got more out of it. I think, looking back at the first leg as well, I think they might have wanted to go, they should have gone after it a little bit more as well. because they're obviously capable of playing the way they play today. I just don't know why they did it. And like I said in the beginning of this rant that I totally went off tangent with, I know what Diego Simeone was trying to do. He was trying to leave there with a 0-0 or a 1-0, at least 1-0. 2-0, I think it's done. But a 1-0 going back to that place, we can overturn that. If not win it, we'll definitely score one. Like, come on. Carrasco, Correa, Suarez, Griezmann, Llorente, Lamar, Lodi. We got to score one at least. With those crazy ass fans, please, we got to score one. So I know everyone's looking at Man City like they're Man City. That's fine. But if I'm Atletico Madrid going back to the Wanda, I believe I'm in the driver's seat. It's not like it's 3-0, 4-0. It's 1-0. All we got to do is score one and it's tied. And then it's squeaky bum time for the genius, right? The Messiah. So I see what he was trying to do, but, you know, it didn't work in the end. But I think Atletico played fantastic today. And even the argy bargy at the end and during the game, I like that stuff. It's part of it. That's part of you coming to this stadium. That's part of it. At your stadium, they always have this saying in England, oh, but can you do it on a rainy day in Stoke? It's not because it's raining. It's because Stoke kicks the crap out of you. Can you do it there with those fans on top of you yelling and screaming at you in the cold weather while these guys try to kick you off up and down the field? That's what the saying's about. But if you listen to the English commentator, it's disgusting. It's the word that they use. What was the word? I can't remember the word they used. It was just like unbelievable. Man City was doing the exact same thing, you know, wasting time and stuff like that. They're falling down. They're cramping. Phil Foden gets fouled off the field. He rolls back onto the field so they can stop the game from flowing. And that's when Stefan Savage went over and pulled him back off the field. And then he's out of control. He deserves a red. He's this, he's that, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. When another country does that, it's the dark arts. When English teams do it, it's clever, right? Anyways, I'm just, as a semi-Atletico fan, I've always liked Atletico. I was a big Falcao guy back in the day, so it's just, you know, disappointing to see that they could put in a performance like that and then in the first leg go to the Etihad and play the way they did. And the last, maybe if it's 1-0 in the last 10 minutes, I know you want to lock it down and only take the 1-0, but you could have come out and played a little bit more. They didn't put them under any type of pressure in the first leg, and you can see what pressure does to this team. I've never seen a Pep Guardiola team fall back into a shell like that. Scared to play. But you know, we go on. This might be the year that they win the Champions League. I doubt it, but you never know. Biggest game of the week. Before we get into Chelsea, Real Madrid, biggest game of the week in the EPL was Liverpool, Man City. If you didn't watch that, what a game. What a game. You know what? I'll talk about this game with Joe because I want him to be here when I mention certain things, because there's some players out there for both teams that are just, it's for me, it's just like, why do we even talk about this guy? But anyways, we'll talk about that with Joe. And next week or the next when we talk, we'll recap this game together. So I'll bring it up then. And the final game in the Champions League yesterday was Real Madrid and Chelsea. Real Madrid took a 3-1 lead back to the Bernabeu, and that's one of the games that you're looking at. I didn't even watch it. It's done. Forget it. Chelsea has to go there and score how many? Forget it. It's done. So I was sitting here working and I got a message in my Arsenal group, and it's like, oh my God, Chelsea's going to blow this. Blow it. Should be done already. Turn on the TV. It's 3-1 Chelsea or 3-0 Chelsea. I'm like, whoa. So I started watching it, and like literally Like 3 minutes later, Rodrigo scores. And it's 3-1. And I'm like, oh, okay. It's going to go to extra time. Goes into extra time and then Benzema busts. You know, 4 goals in 2 games against Chelsea. Striker on fire. I didn't give Chelsea a prayer in this game. And, you know, they came out to play. They played well. And they almost pulled it off. They almost pulled it off. If they did pull it off, you would definitely have an English team in the final, which is what all these guys are ruining their pants about. But anyways. So there are the draws. Well, there are the games, the finals and the games. So we have Real Madrid is going to be playing Man City. We have Liverpool playing Villarreal. I know where I'm leaning, but I was wrong last round, so don't listen to me. What do I know? But those are that's the recap of the Champions League. It's going to be a very exciting end, I think, to this this Champions League. I can't wait to see what the final is. Maybe Villarreal can pull off an upset. And maybe Real Madrid can look at what their crosstown rivals did to Fraudiola and co. And you know, devise a game plan there. I was actually reading something today, a quick little fact. Ancelotti is the first coach to go to the Champions League semifinals in 4 different decades. Which is pretty unbelievable if you ask me. I don't know what he was doing at Everton. No idea what he was doing at Everton. I guess he was biding his time for Zidane to leave so he can come back to Real Madrid. But there you go. So that's a quick little fact. If you want to share that with your friends, tell me you got it from Reggie at Football Weekly. So moving on to MLS, we have our TFC, our beloved TFC, who started off the season kind of shaky, I believe. And again, I want to talk to Joe about this, but I'll lay the foundation a little bit. TFC started the season a little bit shaky. I mean, the field doesn't help. Soccer on grass in March in Canada, it doesn't work. But you know, you try your best. You play with what you have. But I think the team is starting to come together a little bit. I want to ask Joe about Pozuelo and what we see in him. I think Bob Bradley has him. Bob Bradley has him playing in a kind of more defensive, not a defensive role, but he wants a little bit more defense from him. And I think that's affecting his game a little bit. Because I don't see him when he's on the ball, I don't see the same dynamic Pozuelo that we had for the last 2 seasons. So I'll ask Joe, maybe we bring in into the midfield, a guy that's going to win the ball, a workhorse, a Gattuso, a Deschamps, a Dunga, you know, win the ball and get it to Pozuelo. Maybe we don't need Pozuelo to drop back as far as he does to win the ball. Maybe one of the center backs pushes up a little bit further up the field. One that can get up and back. We're starting to see the resurgence of the TFC Academy a little bit too, because we're getting players that are coming through the academy. We're signing young guys. Finally, we've all been calling for, you know, this guy and that guy and that guy and this guy to get a chance. There's guys in the CPL that deserve a chance to play at the highest level. So it's good to see that an American is actually coming in and looking at those leagues and saying, you know what, that's some guy we can use, go get him. Or looking at TFC too and saying, you know what, you're playing well, here's a call up. So I like that Bob Bradley is doing that. And if it's not Bob Bradley, whoever's in charge of that, doing that, kudos to you. I'm a big proponent of youth. It's one thing to have the dough just to go out and buy players. It's one thing to actually get the youth, nurture them, and bring them along in your system, and then give them the opportunity to make a difference in the game. I see it at Arsenal, and I love it, and I'm starting to see that at TFC as well. So kudos to the people that are making decisions about the youth at TFC. It's about time these guys got a chance. It helps the academy, it helps the national team, it helps it helps everything. So golf clap for that. But the results, we're playing this Saturday, I believe we play the first place team in the East, which is Philadelphia Union. I'm not sure if that's here. I think it's away. I think it's in Philly. I haven't been to a game yet this year. Waiting for the weather to get a little bit better, and we'll get out there. But maybe we'll do a show from out there. Who knows? I know Joe goes to the games. I don't think he's been to one either this season. But maybe when the weather gets warmer, we can do a little show from out there. And yeah, if you're in the stadium or by the stadium, come by and say hi. We're supposed to be doing a show at Soccer Max this Saturday. But since Joe's doing the Vaughn Showcase, I don't think we're going to be able to do it this Saturday. So if you were planning to go out and see us, we won't be there. I'll be there, though. I have to go pick up a pair of shoes for this week, so for this upcoming soccer season. So I'll be there. I was supposed to be there 2 weeks ago, but you know how it goes. But it's a long weekend, so I'll be able to make it out there on Saturday, I believe. So, guys, as usual, if you have soccer needs, equipment needs, as far as shoes, jerseys, tracksuits, hats, mugs, balls, socks, bags, whatever you want, go visit Max at Soccer Max. Max and Ross at Soccer Max out in Maple. They'll definitely help you out. Mention that you heard it on Football Weekly Podcast. See what happens. Right? So we recapped Champions League. We recapped my team, Arsenal, and the EPL, and what I think is going to happen. We recapped TFC. I've talked for 40 minutes. As the Jays game is about to start, and I want to go watch that. So, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.